Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are getting ready for Bills at Colts this Sunday, a 1 p.m. kickoff. And with that, we go now to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very well.
Doing good.
Sal, though, I will tell you, antsy's probably the best way to put it. I need a concrete Keon Coleman update, and I feel like we're not getting it, and it is stressing me out.
Well, the best we can do today, I would say, is just about an hour from now, the media will be on site at practice, and once we leave that, we are allowed to post what we've seen, like not during practice, you know what I mean? So once we leave the practice area, which is probably about a half hour to 40 minutes generally, somewhere in that time period, then we'll give you an update. And then even from there, all we can do is tell you, did we see him there? Did we not? My sense is today, given what Sean McDermott said yesterday, given the fact he was a DNP yesterday at practice, even though it was a walkthrough, we're not going to see him out there. The question would be, do we see him on the side working with trainers? Does he have a wrap on his hand, a brace? You know, all those things are going to come out here in the next hour and a half or so. But I don't think you'll get an actual update on the injury status today, unfortunately.
It's just going to be a long finish to the week of like, is he going to play? Is he not? I guess good news. And you did mention, though, yesterday was just a walkthrough. He was the only player to not practice. I mean, there's a lot of names, and we've mentioned it a lot, too. It's the changing kind of nature of the NFL with betting, and you kind of got to just put everybody on there. But even with that, only four players were limited. It's pretty much a healthy team outside of the guys that are, of course, on IR.
Yeah, there's a lot of names on the list, and that's the bit way it's been. And as I've explained to you guys and listeners a lot over this year and last several weeks, you know, you have to do that in the NFL. Like, if anybody's getting treatment, and I think that, you know, even the Bills have more than your normal team, but really what matters is what happens on Sunday and who's playing and who's not. But when it comes to the actual numbers and names, like, even Josh Allen is listed with his left hand still, and we know that, you know, that was something that happened in week one, and, you know, it's just sitting there, and, you know, any sort of treatment. That being said, let me count the names. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 names. That's a lot. But out of those 19 names, only one not practicing. That's Keon. And as you said, only four limited, which is actually really good considering the names there, too. Amari Cooper, Kyrie Elam, Reggie Gilliam, and Curtis Samuel. The one name I did not mention, Christian Benford. He was a full participant yesterday, which was obviously good. We talked to him after practice, and he said that he doesn't feel like he has any challenges right now with the wrist. Like, he said that he's good. So obviously, I think that's a really encouraging sign for this week.
So, Sal, one of the names you mentioned there in that long list is Amari Cooper, limited with a wrist injury. Is that something – what do you think that's going to look like as the week goes on here?
It's really tough to tell, Josh, because it was the same last week, limited, right, all week, that he didn't play. So, obviously, you think, you know, okay, they laid off him last week, he didn't play, so now we're beyond a week since the wrist injury occurred. That would be the home game – the game against the Seahawks, right? That'd be the Seahawks when the wrist injury occurred. And he didn't play last week against the Dolphins. So you're obviously now more than a week out, but it's still limited. And he didn't play last week. And he was limited all last week and didn't play. So again, you know, these things are tough to tell. We will have Sean McDermott on tomorrow on this show, on the Extra Point show, and, you know, get more clarity on some of these guys, hopefully. And, you know, he'll give us maybe more of a concrete update. But I think as of right now, all we can do is kind of wait until then, because we're not going to hear from the head coach today.
So, Sal, we're doing a little bit of a vibe check here for this Colts game. It's in a bit of a weird spot in the schedule where they're 4-5, but nothing has gone right. We talked with Kevin Bowen yesterday of 107.5 over in Indianapolis, and I would say the word there is just confusion with Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco and what have you. And while the term for this would be trap game, I do find myself looking ahead to Kansas City. I'm not a player. I feel like I'm allowed to do it. But this game is sort of weird now where, I mean, the Bills are only a 4.5-point favorite, and yet even if Coleman is out or Cooper's limited, what have you, it does have a feeling that they should be able to just get business done and get ready for Kansas City.
I feel like the Bills are the better team here, no doubt about it. You know, I think that it would be, I don't know, do you guys know the line on the game? I have to go look at that.
Four
I haven't seen that, to be honest with you.
Bills are 4.5.
So obviously, in betting odds, it would be an upset. There's no doubt. But even if you just took the two teams at face value, I think it'd be an upset if the Bills went to Indianapolis and lost to a 4-5 Colts team that has definitely had their challenges at the quarterback position going in and out. Now, even last week with the change, and look, I think you guys would probably agree that, you know, it felt like Joe Flacco might be a better option for them, as much as it's a tough call and you want to see Anthony Richardson develop. However, that being said, he didn't play that great last week. 16 of 27, 179 yards, no touchdowns and an interception against a very good Vikings defense, by the way. Of course, we have to say that, right? But, you know, it's not like he was the answer to all of their problems. One of the issues they're having is, for some reason, you talk to a lot of Indy fans, you know, Jonathan Taylor is not running the football. They're not giving it to him. He's has a nice yards per carry average, by the way. He's close to 4.8 yards per carry. And that's something that I think that that's what they're going to have to do against the Bills, because he is a player that is very good, and the Bills have not had a lot of success stopping the run this year. Jonathan Taylor has 105 carries this year. That's 21st in the NFL. I would think that given who he is, he should be higher on that list as far as attempts this year. You know, and I don't know, looking at bye weeks and things like that, but you get the point. Like, it just feels like for them, Indy, yeah, confusion's a good word. Like, I don't know if they have a true identity right now on offense. And I think if you talk to people in Indianapolis, like, that's really kind of been a big issue with them. They've also had, you know, some tough days on defense and some better days on defense. They're 12th in the NFL in points allowed, but a lot of teams are running on them. You know, the Bills have an opportunity to run here, and, you know, we'll have clean weather game. It's in a dome, obviously. So I think it's a team that if they were to find themselves, I think they could make some way, but it feels like they're kind of all over the place on both sides of the ball.
You mentioned Jonathan Taylor's, the amount of times he's run the ball this year. Joe Flacco, the four games he started, the passing attempts, 27 against Minnesota, but 38 against Tennessee, 44 against Jacksonville, 26 against Pittsburgh. They do feel like when he's in the game, they all of a sudden really want to throw the ball. Talking with Kevin Bowen yesterday, he even mentioned that Jonathan Taylor's rushing stats go down when Flacco has been the quarterback, just in terms of yards per carry, obviously rushing attempts as well. So I think that's been something I'm interested in too, now that Flacco is playing. Of, yeah, you got to worry about Taylor, of course, but I also looking against the two teams that have run really well against the Bills, I would argue it's been a lot of what the quarterback's been able to do that has helped them. And yeah, not having Richardson in there, I think probably does limit what the rushing attack could be against Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting stat. I didn't know that when Flacco plays, Taylor's rushing stats go down. Is that what you said? Right.
Yeah.
So it, to me, that would speak to when Richardson plays, you have to account for him as a running back, mm-hmm. right? So when Taylor's in there, they're either dropping back to pass or handing the ball to Jonathan Taylor. That's really like one of two things they're going to do here. When Anthony Richardson's in there, he gives you more options, which is why I think they'd love Anthony Richardson to still be the starting quarterback. But at this point, they just kind of just can't do that because he has not played well enough, and they're in the middle of really, I mean, a playoff race, and you could even say a division race, I guess. At this point, they're not completely out of it. They're two games behind the Houston Texans, right? And right now with the Houston Texans issues and playing the Detroit Lions this week, you know, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you feel like if you can get this game against the Bills, you're there.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Like, you're right there, ready to strike and maybe try to take over the division down the road when you, and I think they've already played Houston twice, though, I believe. I think they did, and actually Houston beat them twice. So you have to beat them by record, but you could close the gap to a game here. And I think that that's where they are, Indy, which is, hey, you know, this is a big game for them. You know, if they lose this game, guys, and they drop to 4-6, let me look at the conference standings. Right now, they're 4-5 at the eighth seed, just sitting outside. You drop to 4-6, now you're down in that group with, you know, the New York Jets. Well, the Jets would be like kind of the only team there, but now you're like 10 seed in the conference. You win this game, you're right there in the thick of things in a playoff spot.
So, Sal, another thing that when I look at Jonathan Taylor gets me worried is the Bills' defensive line lately. And obviously, they bring in Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson this week, but are those two really, I mean, we probably wouldn't know yet, but do you think those two are going to play at all or be impacts in this game? I think they might, personally, I think they might, because it's just the fact of you have Jonathan Taylor as such a good running back, you might want some more extra reserves there on that defensive line.
Well, you can only really dress so many guys without taking numbers away, right?
Right,
so
that's true.
I mean, you have six they have six defensive tackles. I don't think they're going to dress all six. So even as much as you need reserves, you can't. You're probably going to dress four or five. I would see five. That would be fine. I do think they could play this week, guys. I mean, like, look, they're down Dwan Smooth. They're down Dwayne Carter. And, you know, they need guys to, you know, be a part of the rotation. They need numbers, though. That's as simple as that. So I think impact is a relative question, right? What's impactful? Are they making big plays behind the line? Certainly that would be impactful. But if even if they're just kind of allowing other guys to kind of do their job, that would be as much of an impact for the Buffalo Bills on defense. So I do think they have a chance to play this week. They're both on the active roster. We'll see. You take a look at those six defensive tackles. Could you see a guy like Zion Logue, who's been here now for a few weeks, could he be inactive and you go with the other five, Oliver Jones, Austin Johnson, Phillips, and Quentin Jefferson? Sure. I could see something like that, no doubt about it. So, yeah, they need to kind of keep guys fresh. They want to have that rotation, that healthy rotation. But it's not like you can just, you know, dress seven or eight guys on the defensive line because you're facing a good running back. I mean, that's going to take away from numbers from elsewhere. So you can't do that. I'm looking now, too. I want to look at the Colts and coming out of the backfield. That's a thing. That's one of the things that's really hurt the Bills this year, guys, is running backs out of the backfield. Because the way the Bills' defense is designed, they don't want to get beat by wide receivers down the field. So they're giving up, you know, catches to running backs underneath. But the Colts haven't done that a ton this year. Jonathan Taylor, only 10 catches for 100 yards on the season. Boy, where are there? I'm even looking. You know what's wild to me? I'm just noticing this now. They don't even have a tight end in a top. Where's their next tight end? Who's their tight end? Is Goodson a tight end? 8 catches? Mo Alley Cox, 7 catches?
That's who I was thinking.
Wow, like they have not thrown to the tight end this year.
No, I mean, it's kind of been like, if they've got a slot option, it's been Josh Downs and nobody else, really. But they've also used him down the field a lot as well. And I think you could also argue, too, Anthony Richardson, the efficiency of their passing game when he is in at quarterback has been, almost, I would argue, without having the stats in front of me, historically low. So, I mean, that could be a big reason why, too, is that they're just trying to get anything else out of the passing game that they couldn't get with Richardson.
And by the way, Tyler Goodson is actually a running back. So Tyler Goodson's a running back. Trey Sermon, he's a running back, correct? Want to get it here. And then I'm trying to look at the name. So look at the, if you take a look, guys, you can do this. You guys play fantasy football. It might be easier, too. Look at the Colts receiving options. I mean, they just are not throwing to their tight ends this year. Downs, Pittman, Pierce, Adonai Mitchell. And by the way, Pittman is dealing with an injury. He's got a back injury and he's got a finger injury. So we're staying on top of what's happening at their practice as well today. Not only is it him, Michael Pittman, but also Zaire Franklin, who's the leading tackler in the NFL right now. He has an ankle injury, but he did play every snap last Sunday. So my assumption is he's just, you know, taking a day off on a Wednesday as a veteran. But, you know, it is something to monitor, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Sal, we also do have a very fun Thursday night football game tonight. I know that there was a little bit of, like, hostility about, like, who Bills fans should be rooting for tonight. I will say right now, I'm on the Bengals. I'm still thinking about the one seed. I want Houston and Baltimore as far away from tiebreakers or anything like that with the Bills. Where do you sit with tonight?
I think that it'd make you feel a little bit better if the Bengals beat the Ravens too, right? Which is, okay, like this Ravens team is beatable because they beat the heck out of the Bills, obviously, but they've lost other games. They just lost a couple weeks ago to the Browns. They lost to the Raiders. I think, you know, the fear is from Bills fans, what I'm getting. I tweeted it out from the Extra Point Show account, you know, what is the preferred outcome? And the fear from people is, well, you don't want the Bengals in the playoffs because if they are, they can be a problem. And I understand that because they have Joe Burrow and what they do. I would say this year, though, what to me, you can't base it on what has happened in the past.
Yes.
I do think, to me, this year, the Ravens are a tougher matchup for the Bills than the Bengals because the Bills are more equipped to stop the pass than the run this year, and the Ravens can run the ball with Derrick Henry. But I totally understand the point. Keep the Bengals away from the playoffs as long as possible. But I think the Bengals should be the preferred outcome for me when I look at it because I agree with you guys. Like, the object to me would be to get the higher seed. What happens? Let's just play this out for a second, okay? Let me give you this scenario. What happens if the Chiefs, let's say, just stub their toe on a couple of games and the Bills beat them? And the Bills have a chance to get the one seed. You don't want the Ravens tied with you because then they would get the one seed. Mm-hmm. So to me, the more teams you can keep away from keeping you away from the two or one seed even, I know one seed is pie in the sky, but even the two seed, the difference between the two seed and the three seed is literally playing that second game at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's where I'm at. And I've said it for a few weeks now here. I think the Chiefs are due for a loss. I'm not going to say they're escaping, but they don't look as dominant as an undefeated team, I guess, quote unquote, should. I know a lot of people brought up the 2020 Steelers for that example as well. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm still thinking about the one seed. Sal, I want to get your thoughts real quick on one other game here. Giants and Panthers is the Sunday morning game in Munich, Germany. What did Germany do to deserve that punishment?
Oh my gosh, I know, right? You know, I know they got the vote of confidence in New York, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, but you just wonder what happens at the end of the year there if this keeps up. If they lose to the Panthers, I mean, you can give me all the vote of confidence you want. I can't believe the Maras would sit there and go, oh yeah, no doubt, we're just keeping these guys. They probably have to have some decisions coming down at some point. Like, it would open the window, I think, for them to have those decisions, right? The Panthers going, Bryce Young again. You know, they played a better game last week against a team that had been reeling and has fired their coach since. There's no doubt about it. That was a nice win for them. And if you look at it now, as bad as the Panthers were, guys, for as many weeks, there's a lot of teams with two wins now. And, like, they don't even have the number one pick anymore. I think that would go to the New England Patriots.
Oh, man. Oh, I love that there's, like, this fight for the number one pick, and there's not a clear-cut guy for the number one overall pick. It is not that kind of year.
So, yeah, no doubt. It seems like that. Go ahead, yeah.
Sorry, real quick, one last thing. The Ravens helmets tonight, I hate them. Zach loves them. What do you feel about them?
And there is a right answer, Sal. Just be clear. There's a right answer.
I don't think it screams Ravens to me.
Let's go. Oh, come on.
There it is.
Oh, you don't.
Can I tell you guys something? It's funny you brought that up. I was on a Baltimore station yesterday to talk about Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling me how much they love the Bills standing Buffalo. And one of the hosts, I don't know if both, like, one didn't like love the Ravens purple helmets. Maybe they did, but one of the hosts just did not want the Ravens to go purple helmets. They're like, these don't fit us. Like, this is not, like, they didn't love this. I mean, the Ravens with those black helmets are great. You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't love the purple uniforms.
See, the purple is fine. It's the logo that gets me. I hate the way it just,
oh,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
like
maybe
that
that's what
at
it
all.
Is too.
It needs to look like the old style goalie helmets where you have the eyes on the forehead and the mouth is the opening of the face mask. It'd be perfect. They were so close. They were so close.
I can't believe I'm riding solo on this. This is breaking
it's good,
my heart.
Good.
This is breaking my
I'm
heart.
Glad you are.
Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy practice. We'll talk again later.
All right, guys. Thanks.
This is what a way to end the week. I'm sitting here fighting battles alone. I'm Jon Snow, just facing down an army over here.
Settle down.
Great uniforms.
No.
Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.